What's going on, Z-Pack? Dr. Z here. Okay, check it out. How many of you guys have not read The House of God by Sam Shem, aka Dr. Steven Bergman, a classic released in 1979 about what it's really like as an intern training in that decade? And Sam Shem went through this training as an intern at Beth Israel Hospital, which he called the House of God, in what was a satirical piece of fiction. And I had the incredible honor of actually talking to Steven Bergman, Sam Shem, recently. We connected because we share the same mission, which is bringing humanity back to medicine and resisting the destruction of what has been a sacred calling, a calling where we are with our patients and our colleagues together in their suffering, and we support each other through it. This calling, even back then, you could see it happening. And the House of God was a way of saying, look at the brutality of training. And it was a piece of fiction as resistance, as saying, you know what? We suffered through this. We're going to use humor and satire and a poignant story about ultimately about loss, about suicide at the end, to fight back against the brutality and the disconnection that happens in our training. Well, it turns out now Sam Shem has turned his eyes to our current medical system, which is as destroyed and disconnected and dehumanized and brutal as anything you could possibly imagine. And we got connected and we started talking immediately. We're like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, we share this mission. And he sent me the early manuscript for his new book, which is a sequel to The House of God, called Man's Fourth Best Hospital. What does that title mean? It means Man's Best Hospital, which I assume meant MGH back in the day, has in over the years, through corporatization, fallen in the US News and World Report rankings to the fourth best. And so the characters from the House of God are enlisted by the CEO of Buddies, the great corporate overlord that now runs all these academic medical centers, to bump the patient satisfaction scores and the rankings back up. But they're thwarted at every avenue by basically what is the electronic health record now. He calls it HEAL. It's really Epic or McKesson or Cerner, insert your name. And the entire story features the characters from House of God, but it is about our time and our struggle right now. Just like House of God led to probably a lot of changes in our medical residency training, this book can be part of our Health 3.0 movement together, you guys, because it is almost like the fictional story that would get us united and so pissed off and ready to resist. And that's what this podcast is about. Because talking to Sam, he writes fiction as a way to resist disconnection, brutalization, dehumanization. This book is a great example of that. And then he sent me his Annals of Internal Medicine article, the only medical article he's written about how he uses fiction as resistance. It's from 2002. I'm going to try to load it up on my webpage because it's a PDF, because I'm sure Annals has it behind some paywall, but I'll have to see. So in this article, he talks about how art and writing combined with medicine can overcome, through story, the isolation and the sense that we are all suffering alone. And he gives us an outline of how we can resist. Now, Z-Pack, when we're talking about our Health 3.0 movement, what are we talking about? Okay, here's everything that's wrong. Here's everything that's wrong. We know it's dehumanizing. We know we're disconnected. We know we're feeling isolated. We know that corporate medicine and the businessification of medicine has put constraints on us and has set us up for moral injury, because we're serving the master of the finances. We're serving the accountants. We're serving our patients. We're serving ourselves. We're serving our families. We're serving the EHR, so many masters that we're torn in a million ways, and then we wonder why we get burned out. So what Sam says is, here's how you resist, okay? First of all, and this book really illustrates that, and it's coming out in November. I'm super excited for this to be part of our armamentarium against the destruction of our calling. That's what it is. It's a calling, right? So his outline is this. First, and I agree 100% with, I'm going to put my own modifications on. In order to resist what's happening, to resist this disconnection, we have to get good at our shit in the first place. Become really good at what you do. Learn medicine or learn nursing or learn respiratory therapy or learn how to be an amazing dietitian or learn how to be an amazing, you know, environmental services person or laboratory technologist or sonographer or whatever it is in healthcare you do. Do it really well. When you can do it in your sleep, you have more space and capacity to be present with your patients and your colleagues when they're in the middle of struggle and suffering. That means there is no excuse. That's one thing you guys know about me. Like, the only thing I really don't tolerate is people who have a job and they just phone it in. You know what I mean? It's like, it's one thing, you're burned out, you have a sense of low accomplishment, you're not enthusiastic, you're cynical. Okay, that's burnout. But when you're before burnout, if you're phoning in your job and you don't know your shit, you can just go away. You don't even need to be at the table. Because first of all, it's probably not your calling. It's probably something else you'd rather be doing, and you should go do that. So get good at your shit. Be passionate about it. It's your calling. Treat it like your calling, right? Don't phone it in. That's step one to resisting the destruction of our calling. The second step is to remember the dangers of isolation. This is key. This, I think, more than anything else, and Shem agrees, is the central reason why we are losing this battle against whatever they want to call it of the week, burnout, moral injury, the commodification of human beings and the matrix of health 2.0. The reason we're losing is we've been isolated like never before. Today, I posted a Forbes article by my friend Robbie Pearl, who used to run the Permanente Medical Group, and he's a physician. He's written a lot about this. You may not agree with everything he writes, but the truth is he is on point on much more than he's not. And on this piece, Robbie pretty much nailed it. He said, we've been isolated in medicine by our own culture. Instead of the old days when we used to have a medical dining lounge or a physician's lounge or a space where practitioners would come together, tell stories, exchange ideas, talk about cases, unwind, stress, communalize their suffering and pain. Together, we in a space communalizing our pain, that meant that we could actually communalize our voice. It means that we could resist together. And when you have that space, it creates camaraderie, it creates a we, a connection that then allows us to forge on with the other things we need to do. Now, in the intervening years, we've gotten rid of that. There aren't those what he calls third places. That's right, Kitty. There aren't those third places anymore. There's home, there's work. Where's that third place within that where we come together, right? And in the setting now where maybe you have a lounge or a break room, what are people doing in those spaces? Take a look, all right? Take a look at the next time if you have a physician lounge. What's really going on there? People are sitting at the computers, treating the computers, charting, staff messaging each other when they're across from each other. They're sending staff messages. It's like, dude, you're right there. We've lost this connection. And in that isolation, if you think isolation is just a technical thing that doesn't have consequences, think again. It can be the beginning of a fatal disease. Depression, substance abuse, suicide. Where do you think the origins of these things are? In isolation, we are social creatures. When we have a calling that connects us within, there's purpose found within these connections, we thrive, we survive, we grow, we innovate, we come to work energized. when that connection disappears, when we're living in electronic silos, when we don't talk to our colleagues, we start to push everything into an electronic box so we can click the boxes, so we can please the bean counters, so we can get paid. And even the bean counters are off in their office somewhere figuring out how to game the system, fighting with insurance, insurance fighting with us. Pharma pushing on prices, we pushing on pharma. The patient's stuck in between, us in the middle trying to document everything. That's what he talks about in here. Death by screens. And what's the fundamental reason? Money. And what does money do? It ultimately leaves us isolated because we're too busy trying to scratch out a living, trying to pay off our loans. We're not able to reconnect with our colleagues and then our patients. So isolation, overcoming isolation, is the fundamental prerequisite to resisting. That's how great movements in history have worked. You get people together and they organize, right? Nurses have unions some places. What do doctors have? Nothing. They have the AMA, which is a piece of shit. That's right, I said that. Okay, I've been afraid to talk shit about the AMA. I'm gonna tell you right now. What have they done but dug us deeper into this hole? Now, they have great people working with them, in them, through them, right? But as a whole, have they represented physicians as a tribe against the commodification, the depersonalization, the isolation, and the destruction of our calling? No! They make money from CPT codes. Coding and billing and this mad rush for money, they've tried to protect that. Well, the thing is, well, now what? Now what have we done? We spend all our time trying to figure out the coding and billing in the electronic chart, none of it actually connecting, okay? They're done. What we need is something brand new. Eric Topol just wrote a New Yorker piece about this. Physicians need to organize. And I'm not talking about the American Heart Association, which for years has been spewing nonsense about nutrition that was basically paid for by, you know, cereal companies. Like, they would sell, like, oh, this is heart healthy. What the hell is heart healthy about Wheaties, dude? So this kind of thing should get you pissed off. These are our organizations, the American Nursing Association. What are they doing? Let's really wake the fuck up right now. And this should make you mad, because you know what? When you sit in the break room or the physician's lounge and you connect with your colleagues one-on-one and you communalize the pain that we're all going through and the suffering on behalf of trying to take care of our patients, that's when you start to realize, no, you know what? If we just took this and brought it forward and spoke with a voice, it doesn't even have to be one single voice, but one goal, which is repersonalizing and de-isolating medical care and taking the clicks out. I think we can agree on that, don't you? And then you know what? Then it's not a fight with insurance and a fight with pharma and a fight with government. It's us standing up with a voice. And that's the third principle of resistance. We need to speak up. Now, how do you speak up when you're gonna get fired for opening your mouth? Man, I hear from so many people, doctors and nurses and everybody, if I say anything, I will get fired. That's why, Z-Dog, we want you to say shit. We want you to say all the bad words and the stuff, and we can kind of just go like or share, but like, I'm not gonna put my name on it, because I want to pay my loans and support my family. And you know what? When you work in a power over system like most corporate medical systems, this is a system where you gain power over others, and lower in the hierarchy, you have power over others. In those systems, right, it is really retributive. They can destroy you. It's a culture of retaliation. If you make a noise, if you're a squeaky wheel or a nail, you actually get stomped, right? The squeaky wheel doesn't get the grease. The squeaky wheel gets removed and replaced with a more compliant wheel. So how do you speak up, which is a principle of resistance? You don't do it alone. You do it together, right? In many states, nurses do it through organizations and unions. I still have a tough time with unions, because in an ideal world, we're actually all aligned and we speak with one voice, right? But we can't get there without organization. And so what do physicians do? We snipe at each other. We can hardly agree on how to tie our laces right. We all have different ideas on everything. But you know what? What do I see in this tribe that we have? It's like 2 million people, dudes. 1.4 million here, like 500 and some odd thousand for Doc Vader, who's our dark side representative, who speaks about the things that we're scared to talk about, even if he's wrong. We go, you know what? That's a thing, though. We should talk about that. And across social media, it's like 2 million healthcare people. That's a voice. So we can speak up together. We can be a voice together, right? And then no one can stop us. And what happens when we all stand up? No one can stop us, right? And then that last principle of resistance is there isn't an I in this. We have to lose some of this self-centeredness that drives so much of our training. Oh, you got to compete against other people. You got to make money. You're competing against these other doctors, other nurses. This nurse treated me bad. This one doesn't work out. Is that? It's always me against the world. What if it, if our language changed from I and me to us and we together, we can do a lot more damage in the world. Believe me, I had to learn this the hard way. And you have to go through the stages where you are very egocentric for a long time. Many of us never leave that stage. If you want to do great things in the world, start to see what great people are doing. When I look at my role models, they speak in a language of we and us. They're always giving credit to others. They're always connecting people in these triadic teams and saying, you know what? It's not about me. It's about what can we do within the connection. It's I in relationship that has power, not I alone. And so these hierarchical systems start to crumble. And where did I see this? Again, in Sam's book, in his article in Annals from 2002. Everywhere I go where I see brilliant leaders, I see this happening. So Z-Pack, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, join together with us. Let's learn our shit so we do teaching, right? We debunk nonsense. We try to counter celebrity bullshit. That's kind of what we do here together. We destroy isolation. This is a virtual tribe. Even in the supporter group, people start to form connections. We support each other when things are difficult, when we're having difficult days, when we have problems we can't solve. We can come and support each other without getting ourselves fired, right? Here on the main page, we can share videos that you agree with, whether it's about dehumanization through medical records, whether it's about violence against healthcare professionals, whatever it is, we together can have a voice. And then overcoming, speaking up, overcoming this I and me, well, that's simply just, it's as simple as changing our mindset and our language. We should talk in terms of we. And I think together we can do this. My call to action is, if you believe in this, just share this video. Just go click share. Yeah, what this guy's saying, I agree with most of it. And then we can come together and we can do this. Listen, I see the bright spots around the country. This book is about a clinic that they build together to rehumanize medicine. It felt to me like what we tried to do at Turntable Health. And even if you fail, the next one rises from the ashes. Someone takes some ideas from it and does something amazing. Even on the smallest levels, we can have a voice, we can make a difference, we can care about our calling again, we can reduce the isolation that leads to suffering and the isolation in our patients that leads to chronic disease, obesity, and suffering. And the last piece is being compassionate, witnessing and bearing witness to other suffering and caring about it, showing love in the face of their suffering without burning ourselves out by taking the suffering as our own, being with suffering without letting it destroy us. That, my friends, is what I learned from Sam Shem and The House of God and the sequel, Man's Fourth Best Hospital. When it comes out, you guys got to read it. You'll be throwing stuff against the wall because you'll be like, that dude, that's my boy. That's my boy right there, Sam. Anyways, let's read some comments. My clinic burned me alive, says Joe Heidler. Look over your back. We eat our young. That is I and me versus us and we. That is not the way to do it. It's a different stage of development. You have to transcend it. And sometimes entire clinics, entire organizations can be stuck in an I and me achievement mindset at the expense of actually getting things done in the world. Human happiness and flourishing comes from connection. And we shut it down in medicine all the time. Anyways, Man's Fourth Best Hospital. Check it out. I'm going to send this to Shem and see what he thinks, because he is an awesome dude, and you guys are awesome for being together with me on this. And I will connect with the supporters maybe a little later tonight. We'll do a little supporter live. If you're not a supporter, that's cool. You can come here anyways. You can always support the show with stars or just support it by sharing it. Or come join us for $4.99 a month and be a part of this secret special tribe of like 7,000 people that really we have the discussions. And again, it's a we space. That sounds so new agey, but it is true. All right. I love y'all. I do. We out. Peace.